Hey, all, it's Jeffrey Craner, and while this might be the last new Night Vale episode until August 1st, you can still get your Night Vale kicks this July. We'll be in Newark July 10th, Brooklyn on the 11th, the 12th, in Boston, Northampton on the 13th, Norwalk, Connecticut on the 14th, Pittsburgh on July 15th. Then we go on to Columbus and Cincinnati on the 17th and 18th, Chicago the 19th, Milwaukee on the 20th, and wrapping up this first tour in Minneapolis on July 21st. We're performing our brand new live show, Murder Night in Blood Forest, a truly Night Vale take on campy camp slasher flicks, starring Cecil Baldwin, Symphony Sanders, me, and featuring original live music by Disparition. And in July, our featured musical guest will be the incredible Al Olander. She's so funny, so vibrant, and absurdly talented. We really want to see you there. You can get tickets to this tour and all upcoming tour dates this fall and winter at welcometonightvale.com/live. Night Vale live shows are always a ton of fun for the diehards and newbies alike. We'll see you there. Welcometonightvale.com/live for tickets and dates. One more thing, if you're not already a Patreon member, you're missing out on behind-the-scenes Q&As, monthly Zoom hangouts with me and co-writer Joseph Fink. Our next one of these is on June 19th, by the way. We have an ongoing book club, ad-free episodes, bonus episodes, and more. Patreon is what keeps this show ticking, and it's the number one way we get to talk to you, our sweet, sweet listeners. Patreon.com/welcometonightvale. Okay, let's get on with this episode, and hey, see you in July. Hey, y'all, it is Jeffrey Craner speaking to you from the year 2025. And did you know that Welcome to Night Vale is back out on tour? We are. We're going to be up in the Northeast in the Boston, New York City area, going all the way over to the upper Midwest in Minnesota. That's in July. You'll kind of draw a line through there and you'll kind of see the towns we'll be hitting. We'll also be doing Philly down to Florida in September. And we'll be going from Austin all the way up through the middle of the country into Toronto, Canada in October. And then we'll be doing the West Coast plus the Southwest plus Colorado in January of 2026. You can find all of the show dates at welcometonightvale.com/live. Listen, this brand new live show is so much fun. It is called Murder Night in Blood Forest, and it stars Cecil Baldwin, of course, Symphony Sanders, me, and live original music by Disparition, and who knows what other special guests may come along for the ride. These tours are always so much fun, and they are for you, the diehard fan, and you, the Night Vale new kid alike. So feel comfortable bringing your family, your partner, your coworkers, your cat, whatever. They don't got to know what a Night Vale is to like the show. Tickets to all of these live shows are on sale now at welcometonightvale.com/live. Don't let time slip away and miss us when we are in your town, because otherwise we will all be sad. Get your tickets to our live US plus Toronto tours right now at welcometonightvale.com/live. And hey, see you soon.
Du bist ein Raider, der sich unter der Erde niedergelassen hat. Doch jetzt musst du an die Oberfläche zurückkehren. Dorthin, wo die Ark-Maschinen umherstreifen. Wenn du mutig genug bist, wer weiß, was du da oben findest. Ark Raiders, ein Multiplayer-Extraction-Abenteuer-Videospiel. Jetzt erhältlich für PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X und S sowie PC.
Hey! Denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOKA Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOKA Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOKA Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
You live, you learn. You die, you also learn. You just don't hold on to the lesson for very long. Welcome to Night Vale. All is in chaos, all is in ruins. The worst has come to be, and the worst of the worst might yet to be. The supply chain into Night Vale has completely broken down under the weight of our existential otherness. No trucks can find their way through these strange back roads that lead to our doors. The shelves of the Ralphs are bare. No frozen yogurt, no Provençal herb mix, no edible cling film. All the necessities of life that we assumed would be on hand forever, gone. What are we to do without Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sweet-flavored cough drops? Or whole fish flown in daily from high-end Japanese seafood markets, as we are accustomed to? Now is not the time for panic, no. The time for panic was a few weeks ago, when there was still anything we could do about this. Now is the time for despair, real lamenting hours, if you know what I mean. City Council, speaking from their underground bunker where they have been hoarding food over the last few years, put out a statement reminding people that the City Council is fine and, quote, well, sucks for the rest of you. None of that seems great, if I'm honest, but I'm a reporter and must stay impartial, so maybe it's actually good? Who am I to say? Meanwhile, Steve Carlsberg, my friend and brother-in-law, is leading the men who are not tall and the men who are not short through town, a silent procession. They are leaving behind Labyrinth, which sought to use them toward unknown and inhuman ends. They are leaving behind their generic labels and asserting each of their specific identities. Gathered outside of town in the desert, Steve calls upon them one by one, and they tell their stories. A man who is not tall steps forward. My name is Yosef. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, and then on my 40th birthday, I woke up and I was in the passenger seat of a Labyrinth truck. I didn't know why this had happened to me, but I also did not know how to resist the inextricable tide of change. And so, over the years, I have taken part in unforgivable things. I have buried crates in the desert, from which I could hear the faint but terrible sounds of fingernails clawing at wood. I don't understand anything I have done or that has been done to me, but I never knew how to stop until now. A man who is not short now speaks. My name is Christine. I have always lived here in Nightvale. I actually wanted to work for Labyrinth. I remember seeing their trucks as a child, so secret and yet so important. I wanted to be secret and important too. And so I traded away everything that made me myself and became what they needed me to be. Once, I drove my neighbor to the desert. I slit his throat. I did this because I knew Labyrinth needed me to. My partner, who I now know is named Dennis, watched impassively as I did it. We have been made monstrous. Is there any way back for us? Finally, Steve says, I am a man who is not short, and I am Steve Carlsberg, and I know the way back. It is by speaking loudly and repeatedly the actuality of our individual lives. The more individual we are, the less hold Labyrinth has on us. And somewhere, a crow caws a sharp bark in the evening air. On an office wall, a door appears. A woman who is both not tall and not short steps out of it, a look of sad determination on her face. The supply chain crisis is, of course, not only affecting food. Toilet paper is obviously a no-go, but really, you should have joined the go outside and spray at it with the garden hose revolution when you had the chance. It's time we caught up with the rest of the world. And it's almost impossible to find AA batteries. Although, weirdly, there are more AAA batteries than ever. We are practically swimming in those useless things. Other core essentials that have become impossible to find? Printer paper, laser discs, wiffle bats, scratching posts, horse figurines. I repeat, you cannot find horse figurine 1 in the town of Nightvale. Gordon Moreno, former PTA president and current head of the Nightvale Consumers Association, announced he had something to say, and then screamed for several continuous minutes into the microphone until he passed out from lack of air. He is currently resting in our break room, although every time he wakes up, he just starts screaming again. Frantic Night Vale citizens are standing at the edge of town, waving glow sticks and shouting, "Here, Truck! Here, Truck!" to try to help trucks find their way to Night Vale, but all to no avail. Soon enough, we will have nothing left to eat except AAA batteries. And those things taste terrible. Out in the desert, Steve speaks to the people of Labyrinth. "They will not let us go peacefully. We have always known that. We are the milk they churn into the butter of oppression, or, a better metaphor than that." He directs the men who are not tall and the men who are not short to construct barricades and keep watch for any approaching danger. Other groups try to teach each other martial combat. I think you put your thumb inside your hand when you punch, says a man who is not short, helpfully, so your thumb is protected. Everyone else nods eagerly. Steve does not take part in this training. He sees something that makes him lose interest in everything else. It is Abby, his wife, and Janice, his daughter. They have come not in an unmarked black sedan nor a box truck with the Labyrinth logo on the side, but in the family hatchback. The family embraces, here at the edge of everything, at the turn of history. I am sorry. I lost myself even for a moment. And I'm sorry that in finding myself, I have put you in danger," Steve says. "Yeah, man, it sucks," says Janice. "It really does," says Abby. "You shouldn't have done that, and it has made our life a lot harder." Steve nods. "I know. I can only try to find my way back to you. And to do that, I must face this." "Sounds like some macho BS, but go off, King," says Janice. "Please be home for dinner," says Abby. They get back in the hatchback. They leave Steve in the desert. He is more scared, less focused than before, but the great task in front of him remains. Back in town, a woman who is not tall and not short passes the Moonlight All Night Diner. A man rolls around in the parking lot. "Mud womb," the man says. "Mud womb." She reaches down and touches the man on the forehead. The man makes a shuddering gasp, and then he dies. She leaves the body on the dusty asphalt and continues her slow, unstoppable walk toward the sand wastes, toward Steve. Word is in now that not only are food and basic consumables unavailable due to the complete collapse of the supply chain into Night Vale, but even day-to-day items like washers, dryers, laptop computers, and wood chippers are nowhere to be found. I bought a laptop just last week. So, obviously, I have been thinking that it's time for me to get a new one. But everywhere I looked, the Ralphs, the Worst Buy, Diana's Computer and Crab Shack, they're all out of stock. Now, I'm stuck with this antique machine that can barely open an internet browser in half a second. It makes me feel less than, honestly, and that's the supply chain's fault. Susan Escobar, the second grade scrying teacher at Night Vale Elementary School, has been in the market for a new stove. "I don't want nothing fancy," she said, unprompted, to a passerby who mistakenly made eye contact. "Just a cherry red gas range. Has to be gas. I don't believe in electricity. On account of the Lord." But there is no stove to be had, gas or otherwise. Not anywhere Susan has looked, and she says she has looked everywhere. "I've even tried scrying," she told me, although I hadn't asked. "But the bones are silent. If there were a stove, those bones would find them. But the trucks won't come." She shivered, even though the afternoon was blisteringly hot.
The trucks won't come, she muttered again.
The sun starts to set, and the shadows of the people of Labyrinth stretch far out from their bodies. Steve stands at the top of a hill, and his shadow casts itself all the way to the bottom. He is watching a woman who is both not tall and not short as she picks her way steadily up to him. She does not cast any shadow at all. The barricades do not slow her, and not a single one of the brave talking people of Labyrinth make a move to defend themselves. Finally, she reaches Steve. He tenses, but she merely meets his eyes steadily. Behind her eyes, there is a chasm of deep time that makes him feel like vomiting. The people of Labyrinth shudder in quiet fear as the woman and Steve face each other. Somewhere on the radio, a man says something about the weather.
Riding round with the radio down and the high beams on. We're riding round with the radio down all the way to Hawthorne. You're breathing loud and talking in your mind. I'm hypnotized by all the highway lines. You pick me up on the day that I got out, drove in one straight trip. You're here right.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
The woman who was both not tall and not short sighs. Her sigh sounds like brittle paper tearing. Her eyes water a little in the sandy air. She says, "When the first molecule formed, it was at that moment that Labyrinth came into this world. Before sentience, before lungs, we are deeper than purpose. We are older than thought. And without us, you would be nothing. With us, you are also nothing, but a nothing that serves a greater good. You foolishly presume you can separate yourself from us, but can you separate yourself from a scattering of clouds? From the grains of sand under your feet?" She waves one hand. "Have a look at this, now." Steve and the people of Labyrinth groan as a strong image of a burning cactus next to a rock shaped like a pit viper wriggles its way into their minds. Then the image of ants crawling along the frame of a rusted Chevy truck. Then the stars, ancient and pitiless, hundreds, then thousands, then millions, an eternity of stars, and not a single one shining upon life. These images push through their mind like the trampling of a panicked crowd. The people of Labyrinth stagger. Steve falls to his knees. "As easily as that," she says. "As easily as that, it can be done. And yet, here you all are, rebelling against this natural order. What do you have to say for yourselves?" Steve is silent for several seconds. He needs to put himself back in order and shake off her terrible visions. Finally, still on his knees, he speaks. "Yes, we are only human," he says. "I am only human, and you are something else, something bigger, something more powerful. I don't know what it is. And I don't want to know, but we are human. And that is its own vital thing. Our lives are so brief and they matter so much. They matter all the more for how quickly they pass." Steve rises to his feet. The woman looks up at him coolly. "We would not stand in the way of Labyrinth," he says. "But neither can we remain in your driver's seats and office chairs. We cannot stop the machine, but we do not need to help it run. We are neither not tall nor not short, but we, each of us, have names and lives. And in this moment, we are reclaiming those lives and those names. Now, do what you will to us." He finishes. His lips are dry. He licks them nervously. "And this is the answer for all of you," the woman asks. Steve glances at the crowd. No one says anything. Finally, Christine in the front nods. Emboldened, Steve looks back at the woman. "Yes," he says. She shrugs. "Fine," she says. "You're all fired. We purchased that self-driving rideshare company. What was it? Detour. because we needed a system that lacks the weakness of humans. Only the cold reliability of ghosts who drive cars. Now, please, bury your company IDs and keycards in the sand of the desert. She tilts her head. On a personal note, Steve Carlsberg, you are the only interesting human being I have ever met. Not that interesting. Not more interesting than a supernova, for instance, but a little bit interesting. Done with words, she turns and walks back through the sand wastes toward Labyrinth headquarters at the same steady, slow pace with which she had arrived. Steve begins to laugh. And the crowd laughs too. They howl with laughter, finally free and utterly lost. Steve and the people of Labyrinth turn, still laughing with relief and fear, and walk back through the sand wastes to their town. They are only citizens now, like everyone else, but they have made themselves separate from their neighbors, and they don't know what to do next. Janice and Abby are waiting for Steve at the city limits, leaning on the hatchback. He rushes to them, and they embrace again. "It's done," he says. "I'm only here for you now. I don't know what I'll do for a job or how I'll support the family, but I'll figure out a way. And most importantly, I'll be there every day. I love you." Then he looks up in confusion. Around them, the citizens of Nightvale run here and there, screaming and throwing trash cans and small shrubs. Why is everyone wailing?" Steve asks. "Have you not noticed that nothing has been able to come into Nightvale for weeks because trucks can't find their way in or out?" says Janice. "They get lost. Their navigation systems can no longer handle the strange highways through the desert." Steve shakes his head. "You don't use a navigation system. To drive on those roads, you need a language that comes beyond thought, that happens in places in your brain you didn't even know existed." "Well, I guess truck drivers can't do that," says Janice. "No," says Steve. "But I can." He gestures at the newly unemployed crowd behind him. "We all can." Which is how Steve and the former members of Labyrinth commandeered the big rigs left behind by frustrated truck drivers who couldn't find their way out of town. Steve and his people used their innate impulses of movement to cross the desert. Take Route 900 out of town until you see the tree that looks like your mother weeping, and then make a left on a small dirt road. Eventually, you see two old logs that look like they are arm wrestling. And from there, it is a slight right, and then a sharp right, and then, boom, you're in Omaha. That's just an example. They brought us back food and toilet paper and, finally, a new laptop for me so I don't have to keep using this thing that is almost 8 days old now. Ugh. Steve is working to organize these drivers into a new company that, due to the complexities of navigation, will have something of a monopoly on getting goods in and out of Nightvale. So I suspect he will do quite well for himself. Maybe he can finally fix his pool that Janice and Abby have been bothering him about. It's time he put his mind and his energy into the people who care about him most. Meanwhile, the box trucks and cargo vans and unmarked black sedans of Labyrinth are self-driving, using the ghosts of Detour. And honestly, they're terrible at it. They keep crashing. There are like vans on their sides with crates piling out of them on every block. Self-driving is just not a workable system, especially for an ancient mysterious force older than breath and thought, but what do I know? I'm just a guy eating a battery. Stay tuned next for the hollow voice of the universe, eulogizing another year into rest, calling another year into being. And good night, Night Vale. Good night. At a little house, on a little street, in the scrying Druid housing development, a man named David Lane stands on his front lawn eating a popsicle. He found the box of popsicles in his fridge. They're shaped like SpongeBob SquarePants from the last time he had a weekend with his son, which was a while ago. Probably for the best. He doesn't know if he has anything to offer his son but disappointment and SpongeBob popsicles. And his son deserves better than that. David had a very strange experience a few weeks earlier. Yes, strange is relative in a town like Night Vale. But he had been propelled by an inexplicable force to drive into the desert, and there a man had put a knife to his throat. He was going to die, was supposed to die. But instead, the man had let him go. And he had run home, promised to become a better human being, a better father, even though he knew these were not promises he would be able to keep. He licks his popsicle. Freezer burned. It really has been a while since his son has visited. A woman walks up to him. "Hello," she says, as though they have an appointment, and she is checking in. Hello? He says back. He doesn't know who she is. "My name is Tabitha Littlefield," she says. "I founded this town." "Okay," he says. "It's nice." "What?" she says, cocking her head. The town. It's nice." He wishes he wasn't holding a freezer-burned popsicle shaped like SpongeBob SquarePants. He feels that this woman might be the change he has been waiting for, his way out of this sad stasis. And he is right about that. She opens her mouth wide, and then wider. And then, beyond any human capacity, her mouth is a tunnel to a dark nowhere. The sky turns red, or it seems to. David is not holding the popsicle anymore.
Welcome to Night Vale is a production of Night Vale Presents. It is written by Joseph Fink, Jeffrey Craner, and Bree Williams. Sound design and production by Disparition. The voice of Night Vale is Cecil Baldwin. Original music by Disparition. All of it can be found at disparition.bandcamp.com. This episode's weather was Radio Down by Caged Animals. Find out more at the link in our show notes. Comments, questions, email us at info@welcometonightvale.com or follow us on Blue Sky at Night Vale Radio or on Instagram, Tumblr, and TikTok at Night Vale Official. Or ask a dog, is being good or is being bad? The answer is usually is being bad, but you still love them. But mainly check out welcometonightvale.com where we have a twice monthly mailing list that is the best way to keep up to date directly from us to you. Today's proverb, to tell the difference between left and right, just make an L with both hands, and the hand that is on your left is your left hand.
Jedes Business hat Ambitionen und PayPal Open ist die Plattform, um sie wahr werden zu lassen. So können Sie als HändlerInnen bezahlt werden, wie Ihre Kundschaft es möchte. Und egal wo, online, im Laden oder unterwegs. Und wenn es Zeit ist zu wachsen, bietet PayPal ein Netzwerk aus Hunderten von Millionen PayPal-NutzerInnen weltweit. Und schnelle Finanzierungsoptionen und Tools, damit Sie ganz locker expandieren können. Das ist PayPal Open. Eine Plattform für alle Arten von Business. Erfahren Sie mehr auf paypalopen.de.
Are you squeamish about horror movies but kind of want to know what happens? Or are you a horror lover who likes thoughtful conversation about your favorite genre? Join me, Jeffrey Craner, and my friend from Welcome to Night Vale, Cecil Baldwin, for our weekly podcast, Random Number Generator Horror Podcast Number 9, where we watch and discuss horror movies in a random order. Find, here's the short version, Random Horror 9 wherever you get your podcasts. Boo.